1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. This is Rear Admiral Timothy J. O'Brien, U.S. Navy, retired. I served in command of the battleship North Carolina for 17 months, from late January 1946 to the final day of decommissioning on 28 June 1947. However, I also served in the cruiser San Diego in the same task force with the North Carolina, Task Force 17, a fast carrier task force around the carrier Hornet. This task force was organized after the Battle of Midway, and we proceeded to the South Pacific. I can always recall the day when the North Carolina joined our task force down there. And I remember a quartermaster on the bridge of my ship, the cruiser San Diego, saying, "I feel a lot safer with that battle wagon around now." A few weeks later, on 15 September 1942, during the noon hour, we ran into some Japanese submarines. The carrier Wasp was the first one to be hit by a torpedo. And a few minutes later, a torpedo barely missed my ship, the cruiser San Diego, and hit the North Carolina in the port bow just forward of number one turret. A few minutes after this, being hit by the destroyer O'Brien, which was in our task force, destroyer number 415, was also hit by a torpedo which struck in the bow near the destroyer numbers. I can always remember Admiral Murray, our task force commander, sending a message to the North Carolina, "Can you make 23 knots?" Captain Fort, in command of the North Carolina, sent back the message, "Am making 27 knots now." Of course, the ship was propeller were turning to give a speed of 27 knots, but the ship was not making that through the water, and we were leaving her behind. But a couple of destroyers were sent to stand by her. Those of you who were fortunate enough to receive copies of the pictorial history of the ship, which gives everything pertaining to the ship from the day the keel was laid in the Brooklyn Navy Yard until the ship's arrival in Boston and New York after the end of the war. This book was in the hands of the printer when I took command of the ship, so I had nothing to do with the preparation of it, but it is an excellent book. I think it gives the pictures and the write-ups of the history of the ship were presented in an excellent manner. I sent copies of this pictorial history called The Showboat to the Secretary of the Navy, the top admirals in the Navy like Admiral Nimitz and Halsey and others, and to Governor Cherry of North Carolina, to all the North Carolina congressmen and the two senators from the state. I have turned over for duplication to Captain Blee the replies of these top admirals and government officials, and they were loud in their praise of this pictorial history. soon after taking command, I decided that the exploits of the ship, all during the time that it was in commission, and particularly during the war, should be commemorated. I arranged to have 3 bronze plaques designed and constructed commemorating the wartime engagements that the ship participated in. One of these ships was presented to the Brooklyn Navy Yard, which of course built the ship. Another one was mounted on the bulkhead on the starboard side just aft of number 2 turret. And the third one was presented to the state of North Carolina. In September of 1946, while we were on the midshipman cruise and we're at Annapolis, I flew down to Raleigh, North Carolina, and took with me Lieutenant Commander Lowell, Assistant Gunnery Officer, and 2 Chief Petty Officers, Chief Turret Captain Richardson and Chief Boatswain's Mate Allen, both of whom served in the ship from the day of commissioning. Secretary of the Navy, former Secretary of the Navy Josephus Daniels, presided over the ceremonies. He was Secretary of the Navy when and awarded me my diploma when I graduated from Annapolis in June 1920. Admiral DuBose, the commandant of the Naval District at Charleston, also was present, and he presented a flag to the governor. The principal highlights of the ship's operations while I was in command occurred during the midshipman's cruise from June 1946 until October. The task group consisted of the battleships North Carolina and Washington, with the task group commander, Admiral Cooley, in Washington, the aircraft carrier Randolph, and 2 plane guard, 2 plane guard destroyers. After the ship returned to the United States at the close of the war, nearly every Austrian man in the ship was transferred or got out of the service, so we had to train a new crew in addition to training 600 midshipmen. The itinerary during this cruise was from Annapolis to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, then to the Panama Canal Zone, and eventual return to New York. After we dropped off the midshipmen in Annapolis, we took aboard a group of high school science students from Philadelphia, and they thoroughly enjoyed their 2 days on the ship. And their enthusiastic letters and notes of the principals of the high school have also been turned over to Captain Blee. After I returned from the midshipman cruise in October, the North Carolina was made the flagship of the 4th Fleet and Vice Admiral Barbie flew his flag from the North Carolina until it was ordered to go out of commission. In about December of 1946, the ship was ordered to be decommissioned along with the battleship Washington. This was a very long and disagreeable job. And we had to, since most of the men had been transferred, we had to get more men to help prepare the ship for decommissioning. The decommissioning ceremonies were held in the Brooklyn Navy Yard and were presided over by Admiral Kincaid, the commander of the Atlantic Reserve Fleet. In addition to the to Admiral Kincaid and his staff, all former commanding officers of both the North Carolina and Washington had been invited to the ceremonies, and some of them were present on this last day in commission. Sometime later, I read in the papers about the efforts of the citizens of North Carolina to save this grand battleship from being retired to the Navy Yard Annex in Bayonne, New Jersey. And I think all those officials of the state of North Carolina and others, and those who contributed to the cost of bringing this ship to Wilmington, deserve the greatest credit. I was in the office of the Secretary of Commerce, Luther Hodges, who had formerly been governor of the state of North Carolina, on the day that the ship arrived in Wilmington. I was there to offer to present to the state the national ensign which flew from the ship on its last day in commission during the commissioning ceremonies. This flag was later sent to Mr. Hugh Morton, who was the chairman of the United States North Carolina Battleship Commission. Later on, I also, having turned over the ship's silver service, which was originally presented to the ship by the state of North Carolina, I suggested to Mr. Morton that we had turned it into the Navy Yard in Brooklyn, and I'm now pleased to learn that the this silver service is now in the ship itself. I have been having moved to California some years ago. I was unable to be present at the various reunions and held in the at Wilmington. But there have been a number of reunions out here in the Southern California area, and I have attended several of them. I think it's very impressive to me that it's primarily those who served in the ship during the war who have been instrumental in keeping the memories of this great ship alive. A career officer in the regular Navy serves on so many ships in his long career. He does not always take the lead in preserving the memories of these ships by having these reunions. So I think those who have done their utmost to keep the memories of the North Carolina alive deserve the greatest effect. I know this was also true in the case of the true in the case of the cruiser San Diego, which was built in Boston, and most of the men who came on board a few weeks after World War II broke out were from that area, and they did the same thing for years in keeping the memory of that ship alive. Those of you who have had the opportunity to read the pictorial history of the ship, the Showboat, will recall that there were previous ships named the North Carolina. And it may interest you to know that a first cousin of mine, Joseph Nolan, served in the armored cruiser North Carolina in World War I, and was coxswain of the captain's gig. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten.